Vav Basra, Perek Hey, Mishnah Zayin 5-7, and more on the topic of transactions regarding metaltal and movable objects. So, as I said before, every transaction has these two components. There's the meeting of the minds, and then that's called Gemiras Das. That's the regarding the terms of the transaction. We'll call that price. And then there's the second step, which is this Maisa Kinyan, some kind of specific act which affects the transfer. Now, really, midoraisa, according to Torah law, giving money would affect the transaction. So as soon as the purchaser gives money, that should be hence accepted by the seller. Then that should transfer ownership. But the rabbi said, no, we're not going to allow money to affect the transaction. Their concern was essentially that the seller would then not take responsibility for delivering the goods, and if there'd be, say, a fire, so then he wouldn't protect the purchaser's goods. So therefore, to force the seller to take responsibility until delivery, the rabbi said, no, until physical delivery is taken, meaning cash alone is not good enough, so the transfer will not have occurred. So now, what does that mean? That means the basic standard way in which a person acquires metaltalin is by doing a kinyan hagbah, lifting it up, literally just picking it up. So that is showing proof positive that the purchaser now has taken possession. Sometimes, however, that's just not possible. If you're, you know, selling a vat of flour and the vat weighs 100 kilos, you know, 200 pounds, so you can't just like, lift it up. So that being the case, what will happen is you'll use a separate kind of kinyan called the kinyan mashicha. Mashicha means to pull. Okay, so you'll just basically you'll take possession by pulling that vat, moving the vat, rather than lifting it up. Now, the kinyan mashicha only works in a place which the purchaser has a right to be. So that would be either his own private property, or let's say a shared property. Let's say the buyer and seller are partners. So they're doing this, they have a warehouse that they jointly own, so then a mashicha inside the warehouse would work. Or in the time of Chazal, the way their cities were planned, off of the main Rishiyos HaRabim, the main roads, there was things called a simta. Simta, we'll call that an alleyway, for lack of a better translation. So the alleyway is there specifically, it's like a no man's land where people are supposed to be using it for doing these kinds of transactions. And that being the case, if one does mashicha in a simta, so that also will be effective in transferring ownership. Okay, now because of that, or based on that, our Mishnah says, Hamocher peros lechavero. Let's say Reuven and Shimon are selling this wheat, okay, and they agree on a price. They say, Reuven's going to sell Shimon the wheat for, you know, 10 shekels a kilo, and he's got this big vat full of this, you know, wheat flour. And then mashach v'lo madad, and then Shimon pulls the big vat, but he doesn't yet measure it. That means he doesn't know how many kilos are inside the vat. So that means that there's no clarity on how much, in terms of shekels or dollars, the purchaser is going to be paying. But they did agree on terms. The terms were agreed upon. They said it's 10 shekels a kilo. So then, if and when the purchaser does mashicha, he moves the vat in a simta or his private property, etc. So then that is the maisa kinyan, and it becomes the property of the purchaser, even though we don't yet know how much the purchaser has to pay, because we haven't yet measured it. So again, our Mishnah says, Hamocha peres lechavero, if Reuven sells this, let's say, flour to Shimon, and mashach v'lo madad, and Shimon does mashicha, pulls the container that it's holding the flour, even though lo madad, he hadn't yet measured it, so he doesn't know how much there actually is in the container, nevertheless, kana, Shimon has acquired the contents, and Reuven can't go back anymore, because the Maisa Kinyan has been done. He just has to figure out how much has to get paid. On the other hand, if Madad Velo Mashach, if they agreed on terms, it's 10 shekels a kilo, and even it's been measured out, meaning that, you know, their Shimon says, okay, I'm going to now pour out for you 100 kilos of flour into my containers for you to take, and they're all measured out and poured into the containers. If Lo Mashach, if the purchaser hadn't yet taken physical possession, he didn't yet, you know, drag the container, Shimon the buyer, so then Lo Kana, he hasn't bought it. Hasn't bought it means he could back out. So if while that's happening, all of a sudden he gets a message on his, you know, on his phone, oh goodness, the price of flour has, like, you know, dropped precipitously. Now you can buy it much cheaper elsewhere. Don't go to the deal. So now Shimon could back out. You may recall from Bava Metzia, one who backs out after agreeing on terms like this, and they've agreed on terms, now they're going to do the deal. So that is subject to a rabbinic curse known as Misha Para. The basic curse is the same person who was Porea, who took retribution against the people of the flood and of the Dor HaFlaga, you know, the generation of dispersal of the Tower of Babel. So that same Hashem, that same God, will take, you know, just deserts retribution against the guy who backed out of the deal. But all that aside, even though it is a curse, technically the purchaser is within his legal rights to back out. So there, he could. He'll just be subject to being he's a bad guy getting a curse. It's not a person with a word. Now, if, let's say, the purchaser is afraid that the price of wheat, let's say, is going to go up, so he wants to close the deal quickly. So how, let's say, there's 100 containers of wheat here, and he's not going to go and be moshach all 100 of them. So what could he do? Im haya pikeach, if he's a clever fellow, socher es makoman. What he'll do, the purchaser, what he'll do is he will temporarily rent the ground, the space on which the barrels he wants to buy are being kept. He'll rent that from the seller. Let's say they're in the seller's warehouse. He doesn't want to schlep 100 barrels out of that warehouse and into like the simta. So instead, the buyer can rent the warehouse, or the area of the warehouse on beneath his barrels, even just for a minute. And then with the rental, he can then acquire what's on his rented property through what's called a kinyan chatzer. One's property, one's chatzer, can acquire on his behalf, assuming it's Mishnah Merik, assuming he's present and it's protected. So that's happening over here. So what would happen is the purchaser would effect a rental of the land beneath the purchased goods. That can be done with kesef, shtar, or chazaka, so money would be a useful way to effect the transaction. So the buyer gives a shekel to the seller, and that shekel's not to purchase the wheat, it's to rent the land beneath the wheat, and now, concurrent with the renting of the land, he will have this ability for his now chatzer, his property to acquire on his behalf. That'll work. Halukech pishtan mechavero, says the Mishnah. Now, if the purchaser is buying flax is usually bundled in small quantities because it's delicate and therefore it's not heavy, and therefore it's possible to lift each one up separately. Therefore, you have to lift them up. The purchaser has not actually taken legal ownership till he actually picks up the bundles of flax and, puts them from place A to place B. The point is that he does the kinyan hagbah, picking them up. That's required. Now, what happens if the flax is still attached to the ground and he wants to buy like the standing flax that's in, Shimon's buying it from Reuven, it's in Reuven's field. So then, the Mishnah says, kind of pretty simply, it just says what he can do is as long as Shimon plucks one off the ground, out of the ground, so then he'll have acquired all of the flax. How is that working? Because it's not consistent with what we said at all. Plucking up one stalk of flax shouldn't be a Maisakinim for all of the field. So what's happening here is actually two steps behind the scenes, and it has to be a scenario in which both buyer and seller understand these two steps, they've agreed to them. Step one is that the seller is telling the buyer, listen, do some work on my behalf to improve my field. Like you'll start the harvest by plucking up, the first stalk, and that harvesting is worth something. It's worth a sheva pruta. So now the seller owes the buyer something, and he says, instead of paying you, the shekel for your services, I'll just in exchange for that, I'll just rent you my field where the flax is, for a moment, and now. Flax, which is fully ripened and no longer needs anything besides harvesting, is considered to be already like metalton, even though it's attached to the ground still, because it's like doesn't need the ground anymore. So then again, you have this essentially like a kinyan agav. You have what happens is the purchaser is getting paid in allowing to be rent the field. It's like he's instead of giving the shekel over, he's kind of getting paid in rental with the rental of the property. And then once you rent the property, agav, like on the back of that, there's such a thing called kinyan agav. When you rent property, you can piggyback onto that and also acquire other metalton, movable property, movable objects. So that's happening here. So he'll rent the property and then simultaneously acquire what's on the property there. Kinyan agav could be also kinyan chatzer because he owns the land itself. So that is what's happening. The payment, I'm just repeating myself now, the payment for the harvesting of that single stalk essentially is going to be paid by renting him the field, by the seller renting the buyer the field for a moment, and then once he's got the field concurrent with the taking of the field, he can also acquire the flax that's growing on that field, and that's how the buyer could acquire all the flax growing in the field, even by just plucking up a single one of the flax stalks.